Jesus had been saying some very troubling things to his disciples. And he opens this chapter by saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." The very fact that he made that statement indicates that their hearts were troubled. Whenever the Lord says, "Fear not," it means that they were afraid. And when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled," indicates that their hearts were very troubled. And they were troubled for good reason. Their hearts were troubled because they were living in a very hostile world, a world that was against their Savior. The forces of antagonism have been growing. Everywhere they went, Jesus was meeting with real hostility from the religious leaders. They were plotting his death. They were doing their best to trap him in his speech, and their hostility was obvious and growing day by day. And living in that hostile environment was a very troubling experience for them. Living in an environment that is hostile to the Lord is always a troubling experience. Many of you have had troubled hearts over the responses and the reactions of the people around you, their responses towards Jesus Christ. They're on the job. You see the hatred that people have towards the Lord. They're among the neighbors, that animosity that people feel. It's troubling to your hearts to see people so opposed to Jesus Christ. And when the disciples saw all of the anger and hatred that was directed towards their Lord, it troubled their hearts. Their hearts were also troubled because Jesus had been speaking about going away, about being crucified, about leaving them. And this troubled them because they did not understand these things. They thought that he was going to establish the kingdom. They thought that he was going to overthrow the Roman government. But now he is talking about his death and about his burial. And this troubled them deeply. What will they do without him? They've come to depend upon him. And they really don't know how they will survive without him. It is always troubling when one that we love is close to death or one that we love has died. How are we going to manage? What will we do? How can we ever fill the place that they have had in our life and in our heart? And the death or the impending death of a loved one is always an experience that troubles our hearts deeply. And they were going through that experience. And their hearts were troubled. And Jesus said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." Their hearts were troubled because they had been told that they were going to each one fail in the hour of crisis. "All of you," he said, "are going to be offended because of me tonight. One of you is going to betray me." And when Peter sought to avow his undying faithfulness, Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will have denied me three times." Now, to learn of our own failures is always a troubling experience. To realize that I am weak, that in the hour of crisis, I just don't have the strength to stand. To fail the Lord is always such a troubling thing to our hearts. We want so desperately to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to be the witness that He would have us to be. And when we fail, it is such a troubling thing to our hearts. And they are told that they're going to be failing. All of them will be failing. And this troubled their hearts. Their hearts were troubled because at this point, their future was very uncertain. You know, we've invested everything in the kingdom, in this man. Peter said, Lord, we have forsaken everything to follow you. They expected him to usher in the golden age. They expected him to establish God's kingdom immediately upon the earth, and they were looking for positions in that kingdom. I'll be the prime minister, I'll be the secretary of state, I'll be the treasurer. And they were looking for positions in the kingdom and had forsaken all to follow Jesus. And now he said, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you cannot come. What do you mean, Lord, you're going away? We've invested everything we've got in you and in the kingdom. What are we going to do if you go away? And their futures were very uncertain at this point. They really didn't know what they were going to do. And when it's hard to see what tomorrow is going to hold, when we're in that place of uncertainty, as far as the future is concerned, that can trouble our hearts. That can cause us real concern. Their hearts were troubled because they just didn't understand what the Lord was doing at this point in their lives. I mean, he was talking about some really difficult things, and they could not understand how they fit together in God's eternal purpose or plan. Lord, how can you leave us at this time? How can you go away without establishing the kingdom? Lord, we don't understand what you're talking about. And not understanding what God is doing in a person's life can be a very troubling thing. I'm faced with pressures. I'm faced with problems. I don't seem to be able to cope with them myself. And I don't know, God, what you are planning or what you are doing. And this can be a very troubling thing to our hearts. Now, any one of these things can cause your heart to trouble, but you put them all together and they can almost wipe you out. And all of these things were coming down, each one upon the disciples. And they were sitting there with the Lord. And he obviously is troubled. John, some three times in the previous chapter, makes mention of Jesus being troubled. And they, seeing him and feeling the pressure mounting, were worried. They feared. Their hearts were filled with anxiety. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Sometimes that kind of advice can be totally worthless. Everything is going down the tubes. You're being evicted from your house. You've just lost your job. There's not enough money to buy food for dinner. And someone says, well, don't worry about it. Thanks, friend. Don't worry. What can you do? Don't be afraid. You know, the lion has just escaped out of his cage and he's charging at you. Don't be afraid. Hey, wait a minute. Advice sometimes can seem very ridiculous under certain situations, unless that person giving you the advice gives you a counsel on how to not be troubled. Jesus just didn't say, "Let not your heart be troubled," but he gave them the cure for the troubled heart. So it isn't just giving a command and then leaving me to battle it out to figure out how to get rid of this worry. It's giving me a command and then giving me the keys by which I may be able to obey this command. And so Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." The first cure for the troubled heart is by believing and trusting completely in Jesus Christ. He is saying, in essence, "I know you don't understand, so trust me. Trust my wisdom. Trust my ability. Things look very dark, I know. But I have a plan and I am in control. I've told you now these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you know that I'm in control of these things." So often we feel that God has vacated the throne. Things are out of hand. What are we going to do? We need to realize that God is in control of our lives and everything that surrounds our lives. And all things are working together for good to those who love God. And we need to just trust in Him. "Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand these things that have happened to me. But Lord, I know you love me. And I know you have a purpose. And I'm just going to trust in you. I'm going to rest in that trust." Jesus is saying, "It seems like the powers of darkness are prevailing, but mine is the ultimate victory. Trust in me." And then Jesus sought to cure their troubled hearts by correcting their perspective. And he points them to the eternal. "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare one for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Look beyond the present circumstances. Look beyond the present trial or difficulty, and look unto that eternal plan that I have for you. My plans for you are for your eternal good and blessing. So often as we are looking around and things seem so bleak, our hearts are troubled because I can't see the way out. I've lost my perspective. I'm so caught up in the things around me that I have forgotten that God is on the throne and He reigns. And I've lost sight of the eternal because the temporal things have created such a pressure upon me. Paul the Apostle, talking about suffering, which so often causes a troubled heart, he declared, For we know that the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. But Lord, I've been sick for 2 whole months. My heart is troubled. We've lost sight of the eternal. You know, I would rather spend my entire life as an invalid, not knowing what it was to feel good, and to spend my eternity with Jesus Christ in His kingdom, than to spend my whole life as the strongest man in the world, never knowing a sick day, but spending my eternity apart from Jesus Christ. I would rather spend my life in abject poverty, having nothing that I could call my own, and spend my eternity with Jesus Christ, than to live my whole life as the wealthiest man in the world and spend my eternity apart from Jesus Christ. The present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And so the Lord would get our eyes off of the present difficulties, off of the present circumstances, and onto that glorious eternal kingdom that He has planned for His children, where they shall share with Him, world without end, in the glory of the Father. Paul the Apostle, writing to the Corinthians, said, "For our light affliction..."
You say, light affliction, that's all you know, Paul.
Wait a minute. Paul, talking about his light affliction, said, "Well, 3 times I was beaten. I had been stoned. I've been beaten with 39 stripes some 5 times. I've been thrown in prison a lot of times. I spent a night and a day out in the deep. I've been shipwrecked." Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. It's only when you're in them that they seem so long. But our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work an exceeding eternal weight of glory. So the contrast, these light afflictions, the eternal weight of glory. They're just a moment, but the glory is forever. Get our perspective correct. Yes, it isn't going to be a path of roses. There may be trials and difficulties along the way. They that live righteously in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But at the end of the path, the eternal glory of God's kingdom. And so He would point our eyes away from the present difficulties and on to that eternal plan that God has for you, because He loves you, and He would cause you to look at God's eternal kingdom. "In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare one for you, and then I'm going to come back and take you there, that where I am, you might be with me forever." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be worried about these present circumstances. You've got eternity to spend with me in the glorious kingdom of God. So you may be going through some difficulties now as you're living in this hostile world. So it may seem that the enemy is prevailing, but you're going to be with me forever. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be upset because you haven't been able to achieve all that you've wanted. Now you're going to be with me in my Father's kingdom forever. We spend too much of our time looking back and looking around. We need to spend more time looking ahead. We look down, we look out. God help us that we might start looking up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. The third cure for their troubled hearts came in the promise of the Holy Spirit that was to come. And I will pray the Father, and he will give to you another comforter. That word translated comforter in the Greek is parakletos, a word that means one who comes alongside of you to help you. And that is the purpose in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is sending him alongside of you to help you. Up to this point, Jesus had been alongside of them, helping them. And they had learned to rely and to trust in the help that Jesus had. He was surely a handy fellow to have around. You've got a big crowd and you don't have enough food. Don't worry, Jesus will take care of it. All he needs are 5 loaves and a couple of fish, and he can feed the whole group. You've got a wedding feast and you've run out of wine? No problem, Jesus is here. He can take care of it. You're short and don't have money for taxes? No problem. The Lord's here. He can send you down to catch a fish to take the coin out of its mouth. You see, he was the master of every situation. The Pharisees would come with their challenging questions, and you think, oh my. And then you'd hear Jesus answer them and put them down so completely. You think, all right, you know. That's it. You know, you learn to trust in a man like this. He's just good to have around. You don't worry when he's around. You don't worry what comes up. Well, the Lord's here. He'll take care of it. And you learn to really trust in someone like that. But now he said he's going away. Ooh, what will we do if we get hungry? What will we do if we don't have money for taxes? What will we do? And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, another one to come alongside of you to help you, even the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, Jesus said, he will teach you all things. There are a lot of things that you need to be taught. I don't have time to teach you. But when the Holy Spirit has come, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have commanded you. And he will guide you. Up till now, I've been guiding you, but he'll come alongside of you and he'll guide you. And he will help you. So don't be troubled at the fact that I'm going away. Because I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You're not left alone. You're not left to fight this thing alone. God hasn't just dumped you on your own resources to let you work it out. He says, I will come. I will be with you. My Father will come. We will make our abode with you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You've got all kinds of help. The Father is there to help you. I'll be there to help you. And the Holy Spirit will be there to help you. Don't worry. Don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. The troubled heart always reveals that somehow we lack a real trust in Jesus Christ. Somehow, I'm failing to trust the Lord for the circumstances that I am presently facing. And when I fail to trust the Lord, I'll tell you, I look around and I get troubled. We're living in a very troubling world, you know. And there are all kinds of pressures on all sides. You know, every once in a while, I make the terrible mistake of trying to carry the burden of this church. What are we going to do? We got to have larger facilities to house the people. We've got to have more parking. We've got to have, you know, and I start getting all troubled about these things, trying to carry the burden. And boy, I'll tell you, the moment I try and take the burden of the church upon my shoulders, I start getting pressed down in a hurry, and I start going under fast. You remember Peter, when he got out of the boat, he was doing pretty good as long as he was looking at Jesus. The minute he started looking at the waves, he started to sink. And the minute I start looking at things, I start to sink. And I cry out, "Lord, help me," you know, just like Peter. And I start looking around. And I try to take the burden. I find it's too heavy, and I start to go under. And I say, "Lord, what are we going to do?" And he says, "That's really not your problem, is it?" And I say, "Well, no, it really isn't. It's your church. It's your problem. Lord, what are you going to do?" And he says, "That's not your problem either. Just trust me." And I'll tell you what a relief it is. What a joy it is. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fret over it. The Lord's got a plan. He's going to work it out. And it's not up to me to devise or to scheme or to figure. It's just to trust the Lord and to wait on Him, and He's going to bring it to pass. That perfect plan that He has for us as a corporate body, the Lord's going to work it out. And it's so glorious to serve the Lord under these circumstances, because I can just kick back and cruise. To let the Lord do His work in building the church and in taking care of every situation that arises that involves His church. And it's glorious. You see, I could never handle it myself. I would be out of commission within a week. But it's His church. And I must learn to trust in Him. And it's only when I forget that that I get into big trouble and my heart gets troubled. But it doesn't take long for Him to correct me and get me in the right perspective again. It's not my church, it's His church. It's not my problem, it's His problem. I can just trust Him, and He's going to work it all out. My heart gets troubled when I lose my perspective. And a troubled heart always reveals that the person has lost their perspective of the eternal. We become too much into ourselves and not enough into Him. Too much into the things of time and not enough into the things of eternity. I've lost the perspective of the true goals and reason for life. The troubled heart reveals that I am not accepting that full help of the Holy Spirit. God has made available to me the power. I'm not using it. God has made available to me the resources of the Spirit. Jesus said, "You're not even going to have to worry about what you're going to say when you get in a jam, because the Holy Spirit will give you those words that you need in that very hour. And no man will be able to gainsay the wisdom that He will be able to impart to you. You don't have to worry about these things if you have a full trust and reliance upon that work of the Holy Spirit. The resource is there for you. And my troubled heart shows me that I'm just not taking advantage of the resources that God has made available to me." "Let not your heart be troubled," Jesus said. And your heart will not be troubled if you'll just learn to trust Him completely and just to look to Him and to the help of His Holy Spirit. And the peace of Christ, which passes human understanding, will then keep your heart and your mind steadfast in the Lord. So Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we pray. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way to freedom from worry, from a troubled heart. Lord, I pray for those today who have come to this service, whose hearts are troubled over the circumstances that they are facing at home, those situations that have arisen that provoke a troubled heart. Speak to them, Lord. May your Spirit reveal unto them your love, your concern. And may the Spirit, O God, cause them to get the right perspective of life and its relationship to eternity. What does it matter when we're going to spend our eternity with you in your kingdom? These light afflictions only work an eternal weight of glory. May we be looking, Lord, at that glory that shall be revealed in Jesus. Amen. Shall we stand? Let not your heart be troubled. If you came today with something troubling your heart, don't go away with a troubled heart. It's great to come. Good place to come when you have a troubled heart. But you should never leave with a troubled heart. The purpose of coming into the sanctuary is always to correct our perspective. Out of the narrow limits of now into the infinite limits of eternity, to help me to see life in its broadest perspective, in the eternal perspective, and thus make my judgments and determine my values. The eternal value, that's what really matters. If you've come and your heart is troubled, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. And there the pastors will be glad to pray with you and to counsel you and to help you, that God might free you from that troubled heart and bring you into a greater trust in Jesus and to the experiencing of that power of His Holy Spirit that He has given for you today to help you. May the Lord be with you and go with you and keep you in His love. And may this be a week of a trouble-free heart, as you just learn to turn each thing over to the Lord as quickly as it arises. Don't try and carry it. Just turn it over to the Lord. Say, here's another one for you, Lord. For He said, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's the beautiful thing about casting them onto the Lord. It isn't just that you're sloughing your responsibility. He cares for you. He's concerned about you. And He'll take care of you. Just give Him the chance. And so may the Lord just keep His hand upon your life in a very special way and make this a special week in your walk with Jesus Christ.